This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yo, it's the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad in here. Me and Vlad, we gonna kick the Willy Bobo on about how to get up off your butt, get on your grind, stay in your shine, let people know how to get into you, you know what I'm saying? Tell your story and all that good stuff, you know what I'm saying? Get in the conversation.
Time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy East Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, you are in the conversation, and this is not Damian Lemon. This is Ali Muhammad, the voice of your choice. Damian is on set shooting right now, and me and Vlad are home alone, about to take this thing to a new level. You know what I'm saying? So, on my left coast side, we got
El Capitán Vladimir Camaño, el Coronel, Profesor, Alcalde, y todas las cosas buenas que pasan en este mundo.
Sí. Hombre.
Got to drop a little.
You know what I'm
saying?
Tú
sabes. Got some bad hombres. Got some bad hombres.
No doubt. What's good on the West, man?
Hombres.
What's good on the West?
West Coast is good, man. I'm currently in Santa Monica at my dear friend's house taping this this podcast. Got sunshine. Weather is perfect right now. I'm not missing that New York weather. How's the weather out there?
It's nice, man. It's a nice crisp fall day. You know what I'm saying? How it's supposed to be. It's New York City.
What'd that look like when you say crisp fall day?
That means 50 degrees. You know what I'm saying? Light work. You know what I'm saying? Sun is shining real good. It's beautiful.
Got a little jacket on?
Got a little vest on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can't.
Cosmopolitan vest.
I called my family and I was like, I don't know if I'm coming for the holidays this year because I don't know if I can deal with that cold anymore, Ellie.
Oh, that's bullshit.
I know. All right, listen,
you know
man,
that's
that cold
bullshit.
I said, I think I'm going to fly my mom out here for the holidays for Christmas.
I
don't know.
That's going to be whack.
Why is it going to be whack?
Because your mom is going to be like, yo, this don't feel like Christmas.
What do you mean don't feel like Christmas, man?
It's going to be that fucking cold. 70 degrees and shit. Palm
See,
trees.
That's the New York talking. New York is always suffering.
I'm from Miami.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But
Miami,
New York is always
Miami, only reason yeah. Miami feel like Christmas is because they play the OJs and, you know, all the old soul Christmas songs, you know what I'm saying, starting December 1st. So you get the feeling of Christmas. Even though I don't celebrate Christmas, but you get the feeling of Christmas.
It's funny, man, because the media makes it seem like Christmas is like this, you know, all-white Christmas, snow holiday. New York Christmas is rough, man. Subway, the cold weather, it's gritty, man. This will be my first year out of New York for a Christmas.
So you don't even know how it's going to be.
I have no idea.
You might not like it.
That's the thing. I think I want to experience it just to see.
So
just see what it feels like.
That's what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Say that right there because that's what it is. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
So what else is going on? I don't watch a lot of baseball, dude, but I heard, the Cubs are going up against Cleveland.
Yes, sir. So the folks in Chicago are happy because I don't watch baseball. I never watched a full game of professional baseball. But, the folks, according to my Facebook timeline, the people in Chicago are happy. The Cubs fans from Chicago are ecstatic, but then they're mad that the White Sox fans are jumping on the bandwagon now that the Cubs are in the World Series. Apparently, the Cubs must be sorry.
It's funny, too, because I think in terms of teams, is it just Chicago and New York that have two teams within the same city?
No. Who else, Chris?
Oh, there's more?
Los Angeles Angels, the LA Dodgers, San Diego Padres. There's another California team, I think. But there's a few.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, California is huge, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, California is a whole different conversation. But the Cubs, man, this feels good to me because it feels like it's two, working class towns. You know what I mean?
I think Chicago will be insulted.
By what?
Chicago is a world-class city.
It's world class, but it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of working class people out there, though.
I'm sure it's real working class people everywhere.
Yeah. I know, but like for example, the Yankees the Yankees aren't considered a working class team anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because there's so much money in that franchise. That's kind of what I mean.
Okay.
So this is like a nice. It should be a good series, man. The Cubs, Chicago hasn't been in the series for a long time, man. So this is exciting.
So Chris, are the Cubs considered a working class team out of the two, White Sox and the Cubs?
Yeah, I would think so, and especially because they are such an underdog team that it sort of gets that default of like, you know, the working class, like you really got to hustle, you got to do your thing. So it's that type of vibe.
Okay.
And I think that comes, I mean, Chris, I could be wrong, but that comes like part and parcel with Chicago. Like if you look at the Chicago Bears when they won the Super Bowl, you know, Mike Ditka, you know what I'm saying? Like
they have this brand
of like, we're a working class town. Like it's a gritty, you know, tough sports existence.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes with the weather. It gets
the weather too, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
The windy.
Is it cold in Chicago right now?
I mean, I would assume if it's crisp in New York.
Yeah.
Frigid in Chicago.
What's the weather like in Cleveland right now, Ali?
It's probably, you know, same as Chicago. It's less wind.
Right.
Cleveland.
I'll tell you what, though,
Cleveland is on to use your word, on fleek.
Yo, this if Cleveland wins the world, I mean, it's gonna be bananas in that city. Because I mean, it'd be a big win for them. It'd be huge.
For sure. I mean,
you know, coming off the momentum, it'd be excellent.
And today is, you know, you got the Indians in the World Series. You got the Cavs opening night tonight with the ring celebration. So, yeah, I think.
Is tonight the first game of the World Series?
I know. I'm not talking about the World Series. I'm talking about of NBA basketball.
No, I know. But is tonight the first game? I'm just asking. Of the World Series.
I don't know. I told you. It's tonight, Chris? Watch baseball.
I'm looking it up right now. Sorry, man.
I think it's tonight. So if you got the first game tonight plus the ring ceremony, I mean this World Series started with a lot of momentum, man. I got to tell you,
no doubt, man. So shit, man. You know you out there, you observing. Oh, it's the first game of the World Series and opening night.
Yeah. First game is in Chicago. Sick,
yeah, no, it's in Cleveland.
So, the first game in Cleveland for basketball too. Yeah. Damn. Cleveland,
dude,
is all the way lit.
It is finance tonight.
Shout out to all my Cleveland people.
Cleveland is all the way up tonight.
I need to check in, get some of
that. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
That winning energy on me.
I thought about you because when I heard the news, I was like, Cleveland's gonna be on 10.
Yeah, it's on 12.
So it's gonna be like lit, like super lit.
Yeah, I need to Skype in or something.
Skype in for the World Series.
Hey, man. FaceTime. Hey, FaceTime me in. Shit, now.
If it's cool.
You know what I mean? Don't leave me out on this momentous occasion.
I will say this about baseball, Ali. It's one of the few games where, because the pace of the game is so slow, I went to a Dodger game out here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And the pace is so slow, like it's like a day out. Like you could kick it with your friends, you could have a conversation because the action is so spaced out.
And then you fuck around and miss something.
Yeah, you can miss something. But in terms of the pace, I know, right?
Wait 3 hours for something to happen. And you mess around, miss it, chit-chatting and shit.
Chit-chatting. And then so it was cool, man. I went to the Dodger game. I had great seats. And it was fun. What does suck is the parking and the traffic when you get out.
Yeah, but you in the Uber.
Well, no, I went with some friends. Okay. We had the car. We had the little box seats, sky seats. It was dope.
You should have went real LA and I'll meet you there.
I'll meet you there, right? Just tell me what time you're getting there. I'll be there fashionably.
Yeah. I'll be there. I'm gonna be driven and dropped off at the front door.
Oh my God. It's a tax write off though, Ali. It's a tax write off.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's not forget, man, because I am going to business meetings.
I mean, but for real, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, you've been out there for a minute, you know what I'm saying, checking in from the West, man.
And yeah.
What is it really like? You know, you graze the surface and talk about, you know, your Uber travels and your, you know what I'm saying, your occasions. But what is it really like on a day-to-day to move from a city like New York to go to L.A. to get your grind on? You know what I'm saying? What's the grind like?
I think the grind is as follows. It's a great question. What I've noticed is this. Number one is you don't know who you're talking to and and it's a small world. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you got to be absolutely committed to treating everybody with respect, kindness, and decency.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know who's talking, man. It's a small town, and recommendations and referrals are everything.
Right.
So I've learned that people are essentially your emissaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of the work comes by. You know, your agents are important, but it makes the agent's jobs easier when a referral is in place. And I've seen it happen in specific examples.
Mm-hmm.
I recently got an audition because of a personal reference.
Right.
The audition went great, and then I got submitted to another casting agent who my agent found out was a fan of mine. So right. I don't know if it's going to lead anywhere, but the fact that that agency had that conversation and I'm walking in with a different perception is because I had a good rapport with someone else. The other thing I notice is things move very slow in Los Angeles. So when things pick up, they pick up, but when things aren't going, they move very slow.
And when things are slow, right?
Right.
You know, what are you thinking? What's in your head in LA when shit is slow?
This sounds crazy, man, but what I've found out is that you have to stay committed. In other words, you got to set up a daily practice, which is either I'm going to get up every morning and write.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get up every morning and work out. I'm going to get up every morning and send emails to these bookers, to these cast, whatever it is. But you got to have a daily routine that shows commitment.
So what's yours, man?
Mine is I get up every morning. I do three things that I'm grateful for. So I'll say I'm grateful for X, Y, Z, and then I write for like half an hour to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is things take time in LA, but if you do that every day, if you're committed, an opportunity will come about and the work you've put in on a daily basis will come to fruition.
Okay.
You know, somebody else, you know, I'll go into a development meeting and somebody will say, hey, do you have any feature film ideas? Do you have any show ideas? And I go, boom, yeah, I actually been working on this right here.
Right.
And it's been based on the fact that I've been writing every day.
Right. You ever got up and just been lonely as fuck?
Dude, last week I almost broke down, man. I was so, I had to call my manager up. I was like, yo, it's going so slow. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, I vented a little bit. I was a little upset because, you know, I came from I had taped a pilot. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then now I'm getting auditions and I'm going into development meetings and I'm pitching shows, but nothing's been like, you know.
You said, what? You taped a what?
I shot a pilot last year.
Right. And everybody here knows about this pilot. That was the impetus for you going to the West.
Yeah.
So tell us what happened. What happened?
You know, NBC passed on the pilot.
Okay.
For non-creative reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of different interests. And if they're looking for one-hour dramas, I was caught in an unfortunate situation in that a lot of the networks are not doing multi-camera comedies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And mine was a multi-camera.
And what does that mean?
What's multi-camera means that it's on a set like Seinfeld, Friends,
mm-hmm.
Sanford and Son, four cameras, a live audience, right?
Okay. Right.
The challenge is that right now the tastes, and again, it's all cyclical, but the tastes right now are veering towards single-camera comedies.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Blackish, you have Modern Family, you have Atlanta, you know, the list goes on and on. They're all single camera shoots.
Okay.
And that's where the trend is going. You know, Louis is single camera. So multi-camera comedies are really hard to get picked up unless they already have a superstar attached like Kevin James on CBS or Matt LeBlanc on CBS.
Right. So you got caught up in the trend.
I got caught up in the trend.
In a trend switch.
Yeah. And, you know, Gerard, for example, Gerard's a multi-camera comedy.
Mm-hmm.
The show is critically acclaimed, but it's not doing commercially too well. So NBC has the show, but they're keeping it because it's critically acclaimed, you know.
Right.
But commercially, it hasn't had the best ratings.
Right.
So the pilot gets shot, and you know, it was disappointing.
Right.
And I kind of retreated a little bit and. What I did was I basically took that pilot and I used it as a reel for my acting work.
Mm-hmm.
And I used it as it's my writing sample. You know, I'm with the Writers Guild now.
Right.
So I used that to get myself into development meetings, to meet different showrunners and pitch a couple other shows for this cycle.
No doubt.
Which is what I'm doing. And I took the money I had and I invested it in, you know, living expenses and, wardrobe and other stuff like that to get myself moving out here.
And you took a big step to move out that motherfucker.
Yeah,
you
man.
Came back home.
I could have came back home.
You know what I'm saying?
Could have came back home.
So, you know, it's no motherfucking shame in investing in yourself, man.
Exactly, dude.
So.
And again, it's like, it is the next step. It is the next step, man. Like, the people I'm meeting out here, like, it is the next step. I'm building relationships that I just wouldn't be able to have in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I have access to a whole different side of myself, you know. It's been a personal growth project. Like, it's been good, man. I've matured a lot. You know, I've learned patience. I've learned the benefit of working when nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. You know, I've learned that there's a different way to live. You know, there's other things to do with yourself and occupy your time. So, I'm blessed, man.
It's 70 degree Christmases and shit.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's one thing that we haven't talked about on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like it was here and then it went away. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We stopped talking about it. But, you know, I think it was very important for you to actually drop that down, because I don't think I even heard that story, you know what I'm saying, on a personal note, off the mic. So appreciate you sharing, and you know what I'm saying, I know that's something close and near and dear to your heart. So, you know.
Yeah, it was tough, man, but I'm working on redeveloping it, actually, so.
Yeah, man, you know, it don't stop.
Yeah, I'm working on redeveloping it as a single camera show now.
Yeah, because, you know, it shit, you know, we was talking about things getting slow, and you know what I'm saying, you being out in a space where you kind of isolated. You know what I'm saying? I know out here in New York, shit gets slow for me. I know to start moving around, you know what I'm saying, for me. Because in New York, you could end up in a restaurant, in a bar, at the bar with, you know what I'm saying, with deal makers and with people who are doing things on a global scale on a Tuesday afternoon, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And there's no... Like, not unlike LA, you don't have to drive there and valet and, you know what I'm saying, have a certain whatever to go to the nice, you know what I'm saying, restaurant, the expensive restaurant. You don't have to pull up in the Bentley with the valet. You know what I'm saying? You could roll up off the train and be in the same spot with everybody else for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's funny, man? I was listening to a JB Smoove podcast,
mm-hmm.
and JB Smoove said that he loves going to parties because he sees where in the business he's moving currently.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets invited to a certain party and so-and-so's there, he's like, oh, okay, this is where I'm at. Like, he gauges what party he's at based on where he's at in terms of momentum in his career.
Right, right, right.
Which I thought was interesting because, I'm not a big party dude. I don't think I do well. I told you this. I don't do well, but I do see the value in that now. Like, I got invited to, I think it was like a Comedy Central party here in Los Angeles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny who I knew and who knew me. And after listening to JB's podcast, like, oh, I see what he's saying.
Right. I mean, it's definitely the invite list. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And sometimes you don't end up on that motherfucking list. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? You are uninvitable to certain right. things. You know what I mean? But with work, you know, you can create, you know, a space for yourself to get back your relevance, get back in people's faces, get back to a space where people want you around. You know what I'm saying? People want you at the event. It's beneficial to the event to have you there. And that's really the key to all of this, you know what I'm saying, as far as when it comes to being in the right places and on the right scene. It's,
you know what's so powerful about that, Ali? About what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about is what I was talking about earlier about that commitment piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to get caught up in being bitter,
mm-hmm.
and caught up in not working and caught up in who's getting what and who's not getting what,
mm-hmm.
that you forget that as long as you keep your focus on working, you keep creating value for yourself.
Right.
And you're right. People keep seeing that. You're right. You're 100% right.
But your work has to speak to people in a way that drives them to you, that draws right. them to you. You know what I'm saying? Your work has to be your magnet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Your work has to say, hey, not only look at me and I made some cool stuff and I'm smart. It has to say, shit, look at what the fuck Vlad doing. I want to be a part of that shit. Who,
right.
You know, who is his representation? We need to, man, call Vlad, man. That's what you want. You want people to be able to say, we need him in our room to make our room a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? And that's the goal of moving about in throughout this game. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can make smart stuff that we like, but it has to have an element that draws other people into it.
And I think that comes from, now, do you think that comes from the artist's personal vision?
Personal vision, it could be, you know what I'm saying, personal ambition. It could be, you know, wanting to win, you know what I'm saying? Because you could write, and if you're just writing for yourself, that's not, you're not creating a product. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We in the business of entertainment, so you have to create a product that people could actually be involved with and latch on to or be entertained by. When you get up on the stage, people came to the stage, to the comedy show, to fucking laugh. They didn't come to just, you know, kick it with you and shit. You know what I'm saying? They came to the laugh. So no matter what you do, you got to get up there and make them laugh, one, and then embrace the whole scene of I'm here to make you laugh. You know what I mean?
And I think the important thing is too, man, like, when you're watching other artists work to see what's going on in the scene,
mm-hmm.
it's important to watch other artists work with an eye for inspiration and not an eye for hate.
Damn, why would you have an eye for hate?
What happens is, and I've seen this in a lot of artists, dude. Like, what happens is a lot of dudes will watch other guys to see how they got on.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at it like, oh, I can't believe how so-and-so got on, but I didn't get on. You know what I mean?
Right.
As opposed to watch, taking a difference. Like, I try to watch comedy now with the eye of, like, let me see what this guy's, where he's coming from, as opposed to, like, walking into it trying to hate on it.
Right.
And I walk into it going, what, like, there's something in here that can inspire me. A little piece, maybe a sound bite, maybe the way they moved, maybe the way they said something, maybe something about the way they put the piece together. Like, that's how you have to approach people's work, so that you can then be inspired and put work the kind of work you're talking about, where people could see it and go, oh shit, you know, he's really putting something together.
But see, the audience, they don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
They don't.
All your process and all that, you know what I'm saying? Let me see inspiration. They came to laugh. Man,
right,
and whatever you're doing is people that came for a certain thing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not a comedian, but I am very guilty of just making shit because I want to make it. You know what I'm saying? But the shit that I do that wins is it has an element of everybody involved. Like, hey, I'm not making this for me. I'm making this for all us, you know what I'm saying? Check this shit out. I thought it was cool. I think you think it would be cool.
Well, the crazy thing is that you're currently working on a project like that, aren't you?
Which one?
Where you're the sub? Where you are the object of the?
Oh, well, you know what I'm saying? I'm working on quite a few projects like that, but most recently, I did a photo shoot. That's what I was talking about. I did a photo shoot, and it's one for. You know, like my one sheet, my pitch deck, you know, whatever I'm promoting, my social medias, all that shit for promotional stuff. But, you know what I'm saying, I am almost never the subject, you know what I'm saying, of a shoot. I'm always setting up a shoot and I'm always shooting people. And this time I was the subject, so it was very weird for me. You know what I'm saying? To be on the flip side of it and to see how that fucking feels. You know what I'm saying?
And, right.
And of course, I handled it. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? But there were times where it was weird. You know what I'm saying? Because I had my man Alberto Vargas, who, you know what I'm saying, is one New Yorker, dope street, dope photographer out here in New York City. He works with another dope photographer, Antoine Verglas. That's why I met him. You know what I'm saying? And I hired him to do my shoot. And so I had him shooting, and then I had my son shooting behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying?
Are you serious?
Yeah, my son.
Which one? The older one?
Yeah, my 16-year-old. So he was shooting behind the scenes. So basically,
that's dope.
You know what I'm saying? So I was doing it around Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Hitting some spots that I usually hit, and you know what I mean? And just getting some, like, day in the life type shit, right?
And that's so dope, man.
So the first spot we go to, you know, we go to Sincerely Tommy, which is pretty much, you know what I'm saying, low-key for the most part. You know what I'm saying? I figured it'd be quiet. They have some nice nice furniture in there. You know, the decor is, you know, off the chain. You know, Kai, you do a thing over there. But nice art, nice furniture. So I was going to go in there and just do my shit. We get there. This motherfucking shit is crowded. And it's jumping. It's like,
welcome, God. Welcome to life.
Like,
welcome
what the to fuck? Life. I thought it was going to be just chill. Nah, we roll up in there. It's crowded. Everybody trying to get their coffee. And I roll up in this motherfucker with two cameras shooting. They not being, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm kind of diplomatic when I step into the spot, you know what I'm saying? Make sure everything cool and then start, nah, man. They was firing right off the rip. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, shit. So, I, you know what I'm saying? I already felt kind of a little self-conscious because I'm up in the spot. It's crowded. You know what I'm saying? Just Bogart in the space doing this shoot. But, you know what I'm saying? Warmed up. You know what I'm saying? We got it done. And it was all good. It, you know what I'm saying? The shots came out dope. So, one of the things that I did realize, though, is, like, you know, when I'm shooting, like, with models and, especially when you're shooting behind the scenes and you're trying to get those moments that count, a lot of times, a lot of the action that you get is after the shoot is like between sets when everything's supposed to be down and then you start capturing shit. But, you know what I'm saying? I actually got to feel how it felt to think you're down but then still have cameras shooting at you. And this shit felt crazy, man.
What do you mean it felt crazy? It felt what? Like, what, tell me a little more about that. What you mean?
Because it's like, all right, cool, we done. But then you still, you know what I'm saying? Like, ah, damn. Or you having a conversation with a regular person that has nothing to do with the shoot. And then, you know, my son, he just jumps up. I'm like, oh, shit. But it was cool, man. It was cool. Once I saw the... The thing is like once you see the images and the imagery, you actually learn more about yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like I didn't know how I look when I stand a certain way. You know what I'm saying? I didn't.
Right.
I knew I had a black ass walk, but when I see it on film, I got a black ass walk, man. I walk like a black man. Like, I mean,
that's
it's
County,
no,
man. That's
it's
Dave
no
County.
Mistake.
That's Miami, baby.
This dude is black.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
baby.
A wide, taking up a lot of space. You know what I'm saying?
I walk out personality.
I was like, wait a minute. Do I walk that big? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I walk out. That's
so
ridiculous.
So, you know, it was weird to kind of see that, but you know what I'm saying? But it's also great to be aware and know, you know what I'm saying, what your presence actually looks like. So you can either correct or, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, tone down. But right now, you know what I'm saying, I get it. I get why people look a certain way when I come into a certain space sometimes.
what was the inspiration for the project? We were talking about earlier about the kind of work you do. Like, what made you do this one?
Because I have to turn my business up. You know what I'm saying? It's like I've gotten to a certain space, you know, via word of mouth, via, you know what I'm saying, my clients telling other clients, and you know, it's comfortable space, but I need to go to the next space. I need to go to the space where I want to be, not where, you know what I'm saying, where I'm just at. So in order to do so, I got to kind of take myself out of my comfort zone and do things to promote what I'm doing, to push what I'm doing a lot further. Because, one, you see other people, you know what I'm saying, taking their careers further. And I'm not no hater, no shit like that. But it's like, well, goddamn, I need to do some of that shit as well because shit,
right,
y'all
right.
not finna leave me back here. Even though I could outthink the game. I know how to get to a spot before the spot there. That's my gift. You know what I'm saying? I know how to see on the horizon and get to a spot and be there. So I don't think I'll ever not be relevant until I give it up. But I need to create relevance in the present, in the right now, in the element of here we are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So basically, I'm taking that initiative to kind of do things to have the tools to make myself move further. And when somebody asks, you know, who is this guy, and they look it up, they can actually see the imagery that I want them to see as opposed to just what's there. You know what I'm saying? Because for so long, it's just been, okay, that's what's there.
So our question, Ali, is like, see, for a comedian, like, when I get similar inklings, like I got to drive my business up, I'll shoot a sketch or I'll put some stand up up.
Uh huh.
And my platform is like YouTube, and you know, and then I'll put the clip on Facebook, and I'll put snippets on Instagram, and then I'll send it to people in the business that I know, like casting agents, like, hey, you know, shot this new thing, why don't you take a look at it?
Right.
When you put these photos out, what is your distribution cycle like? What does it look like for you to educate people that you did this new piece?
Well, the photos are not the project. The photos are not okay. The product. You know what I'm saying? The photos are just, you know what I'm saying? That's just a ride along. You know what I mean? The videos that we do are the products. You know what I'm saying? The story, the shows that we're shooting are the product. The business that we do with ad agencies, that's the product. But myself as a product, myself as a brand, has nothing out there. You know what I'm saying? I've never pushed myself as a brand, as a, you know what I'm saying, as a, definitely not as a personality. So this is an effort to kind of invest in myself and get, you know what I'm saying, people to understand my swag, my feel, my vibe, you know what I'm saying, in the way that I envision it, as opposed to my cell phone selfies and shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? I do this shit all the way, like, you know what I mean?
It's funny because what I've learned out here in Los Angeles is that, you know, the situation is so competitive,
mm-hmm,
that it's just, so, like you're saying, it's so important to educate people about you. You know what right. I mean? Like you're saying about your brand, like, I was working at a club recently, and you know, I started working there.
Working at how?
So it's a club in Los Angeles. It's a comedy club in Los Angeles. It's called the Ice House.
Mm-hmm.
Great club, you know. And the person didn't know about me. You know what I mean? Even though I've done a few things,
mm-hmm,
he didn't know about me. So so what I had to do is I had to educate the person on me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think there's different ways to do that, but. You know, it's like you got to assume sometimes that people don't know nothing about you.
Well, you know what I'm saying? And you got to assume that people don't know the right things about you. They don't know the current
exactly,
shit about you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly,
a lot of people know you for some old shit. You know what I'm saying? Know you for some shit you used to do. And I've been through those phases. You know what I'm saying? I cycled through those phases when I left Vibe. You know what I'm saying? The whole cycle was to get people to stop calling me for Vibe shit, you know what I mean? And start calling right. me for my shit. I felt like it was a success when my phone rang 100% for the shit that I was doing. You know what I'm saying? That was like, okay, bet. You know what I mean? And it wasn't the same people. It wasn't the people that I used to do business with. It was new people. But when my phone rang, it was for the shit. I knew there was money for me, not some shit that I, you know what I'm saying, some old shit that it ain't for me no more. You know what I mean?
So, because I don't even look at the word promoting the same way I used to. Like, I don't see promoting as promoting. I see promoting as educating.
Right.
I'm educating people on me as opposed to, because promoting to me, I think, for me at least, it carries the connotation of like style, glitz. You know what I mean?
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
there's no shame.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's ain't no shame
right.
in that shit. But it's just like with anybody else, man. JB Smoove or any, like, you know, any of your rappers or anything like that, when, you know what I'm saying, they put out a single, that's letting you know that, hey, I'm back, I'm up in here, you know what I'm saying, we ready to cycle through this, book me, you know what I mean? That means all that. That means let's get the money moving. And I have to implement these same types of tactics that say, hey, we here, we on our new shit, let's get the money moving, call over here, you know what I'm saying, get them, you know what I'm saying, let's get the invoices going, you know? And that's what I got to do now, is take the invoice game and pump that shit up to where I'm in a place where I want to be, where I'm actually happy to be. And I'm not happy right now. It's just that, you know, it's places I want to go.
Yeah, and then just educating people that, you know, that's where you're at. Letting people know.
You got to tell your own story, man. You know what I mean? I know we be here and we talk a lot about things. We talk about people that's in the conversation. And, you know, sometimes you got to tell your own story, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
Because nobody ain't been sitting around just writing your biopic. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's sitting around writing your biography and shit. You know what I'm saying? You have to be obsessed with your own fucking story. You know what I'm saying? And what you're doing to create that story, and not just fucking telling a story to tell a story because you want to be get some likes on the social media. You got to tell your story to move your needle, move your business, move your products.
And that's what I think, you know, because I look for guys to do that well. And I love the way Kevin Hart does it.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin's very savvy about educating you about who he is and where he's at and mm-hmm. where he's going.
Right.
You know, how was that event, by the way? Because I know you went to a screening of his.
Oh, it was dope, man. He was doing the screening for his movie, the stand-up special.
Yeah, movie. What Now?
What Now? And he was doing three screenings in that day in three different cities. So basically, he came to New York, flew to Philly, then flew to D.C. and did three screenings in one night. So, you know what I'm saying? And he made a point for you to know that that's what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? He didn't
Like he repeated it saying, hey, I'm doing these cities.
Well, he let you know, like, hey, you
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
These cities are important to me. And, you know, I'm going to do three cities in one day and let everybody know that I'm going to be there just because these cities are important to me. But, you know what I'm saying? At the same time, he doing three cities so he get that the talk value up in one time, in one day, and get it cracking. And then he don't have to do that shit the next day.
Yeah,
you know he's. He don't have to waste 3 days doing shit he could do in one day.
He's brilliant, man.
No, so
he really is.
You got to tap into your inner Kevin Hart, you know what I'm saying, and figure
absolutely,
it out.
Absolutely, you know what I mean? Absolutely, man, absolutely, absolutely. Some guys are masterminds at that. Just they're really, really good at educating people. Like it's weird how you get educated on people. Because I was with a friend of mine in the car,
mm-hmm.
and she had just happened to put on the Solange album,
right?
And she put this song. I think it's called Cranes in the Sky.
Yep,
and mind you, all I know about Solange is the elevator. That's all I know about it.
Well, now you know.
And, dude, I'm in that car, and I was like, yo, who is this? And she's like, oh, it's Solange. And then it proceeded to telling me everything about her. And I was like, oh, I had no idea that's who she was and that's what she had done.
Well, Solange made a masterpiece album, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's great. I mean, you know, I only it's like two songs, but I just got the album and I'm thoroughly impressed, man.
No, I mean it's right there in the pocket. You know what I mean? We think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but you know what I'm saying? I think it just has a lot of her content is great, but then the music that's being played is very, very grounded. You know what I'm saying? So it makes the album that much more better than it's not all over the place, or it's not, you know, these like, you know, disjointed. It's consistent all the way through, as far as the storyline, as far as the content, as far as the perspective, which is the most important part. And again, like what we're talking about, is ironic because in that album she gets to tell her story the way she wants to, and because the music is good, and because she brought in Master P and her pops and her moms to kind of add to the story, it's compelling. And you sit there and you listen to it. Then the elevator piece just becomes more her folklore. Like, shit, she whooped Jay ass. Damn. That made a dope album.
That made a dope album. At the same damn time.
Yeah. Go ahead, Solange. You're going to drink some brown liquor to her. You know what I'm saying?
But it was so funny because, you know, I, at that point I was educated on her. I was like, okay, wow. You know, and it took a person in the car, you know, to me to learn that and to listen to her piece. But it was like, to your point, her work was put out in a way that I was like, wow, okay, let me take an interest in this person.
But she made content that was dope that people are selling it for. People are telling her story for. Like, I just gave you 3 minutes on Solange.
And then right. Now, like with the photos you did, like, if somebody sees a photo and they see one, what is this? This is dope. You know what I mean?
Man, they're gonna be like, who the fuck is this?
That's all it takes. You know that's all saying? It takes, though. Curiosity.
That's what this yeah. shit gonna be. It's gonna be like, well, yeah. who is this guy?
Who's this dude with this, you know, black walk?
Black, with that black ass walk. Good God.
Somebody tell me who the hell this is.
Like, who's this black motherfucker here? Nah, man, that shit tripped me out because, you know.
Yo, let me ask you a question. Does your son walk like you?
I think my son walks more like this is my wife's family.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, they have a different kind of walk. My shit is I don't know where I get this walk from.
Because every time I see a father and son walk, I've seen it a couple times in New York. I'll kind of follow them, like, you know, I just happen to be behind them,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see that the son walks exactly like the pops.
Yeah, my, you know what I'm saying? Nah, my son walks a little different than me. He built up different than me. So I think he got his body size from my wife's family. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, but it's all good. I'm about to take him to visit colleges now. That's the new season with him.
Oh, where's he going? Is he going to New England, down south, west coast?
I don't know where he's going yet, but we're going to Howard next week to
walk
the campus, you know what I'm saying, see what it is, you know what I'm saying? And I'm pulling all my strings. You know, when I was a kid, when I grow up, I want to be somebody that could pull strings. Because when your parents always talking about, yeah, such and such pull some strings and it happened, that person always was the important motherfucker in the conversation.
Oh, he gets all the credit.
You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker is the man.
He gets all the credit.
So when I said when I grew up, I want to be able to pull strings. And so I'm pulling all the strings to, get them to see the real value of the campus and all that shit. And I, wherever we go, I'm gonna try to pull whatever strings I got to, give them the best.
What about FAMU? You taking them down there at some point?
We were supposed to go for homecoming, but my wife didn't want to travel on her birthday, and I got actually picked up some work with BET, so I was shooting. So I didn't make it to nowhere. I was gonna, when we didn't go to FAM, I was gonna just go to Howard for homecoming since it's right down the road, but I got the BET joint and it was like, okay, I'm good.
No, where does does he have any favorites in his mind that he has
a list, but when you're 16 years old, sometimes not all 16, some kids are very mature and very aware of what's happening and shit. Sometimes you're not making the best decisions based on the best reason. Like when I chose my colleges, I didn't have no parental intervention and shit. I chose my colleges for the wrong reasons and shit. You know what I'm saying? Not that wrong or bad, but it was not for the reasons you were supposed to choose college for. You know what I'm saying? My first choice was Howard. I applied in motherfucking 11th grade, got accepted, blah, blah, blah. That's where I was going. And I only applied there because one of the finest girls in the school, blah, 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 she went to Howard. She was older than me. She was like in the 12th grade when I was in the 10th. And she was going to Howard. I'm like, well, shit, if she going to Howard, that sounds like a place for me.
Oh, hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? It sounds like a place for me. Because if she there.
That booty had me like.
Hey, listen, that sounds like a good place.
Oh, man.
So I wasn't choosing schools for the right reasons. You know what I'm saying? Even though it works out in the end, but. I know he's just choosing the stuff off paper. He doesn't understand the culture. He doesn't understand how, what happens, the process, none of that yet. So that's what these tours are all about, so they could get to see what it is and what they're actually, applying to and trying to signing up, our money to.
And then as an alumni of FAMU, is there some kind of like incentive? Like, is there a discount on tuition? Is there anything?
Nah. But, there's no discount on tuition. But, since my pop still live in Florida, after a year, he could get that in state, which would be a help. But,
That's a great look.
So, it'll be fine, man. We figure it out, man. So, wherever you choose, I'm sure he'll be fine. But, we're trying to get them to see the differences, And, with me, who knows, it's like, okay, what's the difference between, okay, Howard, FAM, some of the top black schools, and then, the plethora of, majority schools, what's the difference there? What's the culture going to be like? What's the college experience going to be like? What is the return on the dollar going to be, So you had to put all those things into play and see how it works out.
Dope, man.
So
dope.
But that's it, man. I know you got to get up out of here, so let them
know. Yeah, I got to run out, man. Yeah.
Where you going to be?
I will be at the Ice House this Thursday. I will be at Friday. I think I'm at the Ha Ha Cafe, and then Saturday I'm at the Comedy Magic Club.
The Ice House, you said you was working there. You working as a comedian or you working?
No, as a comedian. As a comedian, okay. Doing spots, doing stand-up.
It sounded like you was, busting dishes or something.
No. I'm working as a comedian. I'm doing, I'm on the stage telling these jokes.
That's what's up, man. Shit, I'm going to be out here, man, in these streets, man. Catch me Thorough TV on the Snap. Mr. Muhammad on the Instagram. I'll be down D.C. November 4th, shooting some stuff with the Beauty Box. Shout out to Tasha Turner. And shit, we out of here, man. So tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out!